This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of Ryan Day, the Ohio State Buckeyes 23 hours ago, because he was having his coach's show from noon to 1 p.m. Have a question for Coach Day? Submit your questions for a chance for your chance to have your question answered live tomorrow on the coach's show, which means today.
You know
it
what?
Would be answered today on his coach's show.
We'd be rolling on that audio if we were allowed to. Hey, you know what? I'll give him credit. You know, we've talked in the past, especially on the podcast, about how these coaches' shows used to be live, and I used to go to West Virginia ones.
That's all, man.
With Rich Rodriguez, where you'd go to a local bar in any of the, because they'd go all over the state of West Virginia, and any drunk with wearing Mountaineer stuff could walk up to a microphone and ask a question live.
If
that's not happening anymore.
All right, if you're like the head coach at Notre Dame, if you're Marcus Freeman, you get away with not having to do that because it's a private university. I think any state school, that's part of the deal.
Right.
I know that the state isn't paying for the radio show. It's a sponsor that's paying for the radio show because they're paying most of the salary of the coach. But damn it, that should be part of the deal. Passionate Ohio State fans, and you lost that football game, and
you have one hour to face the music.
Really, a one segment is where you would take calls, too.
Did the Browns used to do, like, back when they came back in 99, didn't they used to
probably
do radio shows and bars
like
with the coach?
Yes, they were all like that. And now it's, I don't know, maybe it's just because of security reasons, everything. They do have the questions here. Do you want to see some of the questions that
you
are
know
written?
What? This is good. Because I think Ohio State fans are going to be very balanced and measured with some of the thought-provoking questions that they want to get. Listen, they want some answers, but at the same time, they respect the position
of
coach.
Let's set the mood for some Ohio State questions.
Yes, please. Several of these questions are actually Facebook friends of mine.
This is good. Then you know what? Even more credibility.
You know they'll be measured.
Yeah. Mike would like to ask Coach, why are you an idiot?
Okay, come on. That's one.
Chris, hey, Coach Cooper, have you ever thought about coaching in the MAC? Kyle, Coach, when will you be at a top five team? Ryan, do you compare yourself best to coaching legend John Cooper? Justin, also a Facebook friend, why can't you win big games with stacked rosters?
That we helped fund.
Jim, why can't you ever win a game that matters? Jordan, only relevant question is how does he still have a job? Why did you not throw the ball downfield to the best receivers in college football? That comes from Don, who has a fantastic beard, by the way.
What'd you think of that OPI call, by the way, Jeremiah Smith?
I thought it was terrible, just because he's strong. Why can't you beat good teams and win titles? That's from Garrett. Jason, I haven't read the comments yet. They're brutal, aren't they? This is a bad idea, isn't it?
Come on, guys. Don't ruin it.
These are comments. That's not even a question.
Maybe they'll actually pick one of these questions. Maybe they'll power rank them, decide which ones they want to ask.
Oh, my gosh.
I did see this.
Go ahead.
Do you know Josh Pate of CBS Sports?
He's great.
So maybe we should have him on at some point, maybe on the podcast or something, because he said that Ryan Day is basically being measured against impossible standards, whether it's Urban Meyer, whether it's Nick Saban, and that because they're paying players now, it's going to up the ante of this kind of discourse. But, you know, it is the Ohio State football coach, and you have been afforded every resource known to mankind to win football games against teams that, yes, Oregon has an expensive roster too. Absolutely. They have a great roster. Oregon was much better than I thought they would be. I thought we would win. I didn't think we were going to blow them out or anything like that, but I was blown away by Oregon. I also don't think the season's over. Like, it's a 12-team playoff. Now you got to go win against Penn State. It's a pretty big one.
Aaron would like to ask, when can we expect his resignation? Jeff says, yeah, I got one. When is Urban coming back? Joe, are you going to be able to coach next year after we fire you? Zach, when are you going to get fired up like the Notre Dame game again? Zach, good bad. Do you often get mistaken for Steven Seagal? several hear about his hair color. I'd like to tell you that I was early to that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that stressful job, everybody calling for your head at all times. Your hair's jet black. Okay.
I don't think I've seen Ryan
Day. I sit on my ass and talk trash about football players all day long. My hair is gray. I can't imagine what this guy who actually has responsibilities has to deal with.
Yeah, I don't think he's smiled in a very long time. Boy, if he loses that Penn State game...
Anthony, you're an alum. Yep. Do you have any questions for Coach Day?
Yes. Yes. Why do you have to complain after every single big game loss to the officials to get them to change the rules?
Alex, did you ever find Lou Holtz? This is what I love. I love it. I can find him at some rallies. I don't.
Safety on, please.
Oh, sorry. If they lose to Penn State. I didn't think about this the night of, because the night of I tweeted and I'm just like, well, they're gonna make the playoff. It's no problem.
Oh, are they?
But man, if they lose to Penn State on the road, and Penn State, last time I checked, they're ranked third in the country.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose to Penn State, that's two losses. You're out of conference schedule. Was a complete and utter disgrace this year. And, oh boy, you got Indiana at the end of the year at home. It's at the Shoe. Then you have Michigan. Now, I've assumed all along they're going to beat Michigan. But right now, do I have that much faith in Ryan Day that just because we have more talent than Michigan?
Is there an old man that's affiliated with Michigan or Penn State that he can yell at? Don't even make that joke. I will dump it. Don't even do it. Don't even do it.
Come on.
No, no.
Yeah, give me that softball.
One is dead and one is in prison. Don't even start.
Here we go. Either way, if he somehow, when they expand your playoff field to 12, they somehow miss the playoffs. Oh, my God.
That's it.
Yes,
And that's what I love about this. Go ahead and be a bully. He yelled at Lou Holtz, 80-something-year-old man who has no power over any of this, when Marcus Freeman put 10 on the field. Well, it wasn't Marcus Freeman, but he was covering up for a defensive coach that put 10 on the field.
Lanning puts 12 on the field. Freeman puts 10.
Somehow the numbers are going to mess it up. It's always going to go either way for Ryan Day. But no, I'm dead serious. How much is he getting paid? Is he getting paid $10 million plus? So you're making double digits million. If people were doing this, like if he were the head coach at Brunswick High School and the comments look like this, I'd go, guys, this is repugnant. You need to stop. And there are fine people in Brunswick, and I don't believe that would ever happen, by the way. But he's the head coach at Ohio State, and he's making over $10 million a year. And he doesn't see any of these, I'm sure. And no, you know what? Continue to do it. If he can't beat these teams that he's supposed to beat, you're supposed to have high standards. I'm saying this as, again, a lapsed Ohio State fan. Because if I were still an Ohio State fan, I can't imagine. I'm mean-spirited towards Ryan Day as it is. I can't imagine the things I would say that I would probably have to dump over Ryan Day. The way I used to be an Ohio State fan, you guys have every right to say what you want. You guys pour in money. You pour in resources. You have one of the most expensive rosters in college football, maybe the most expensive roster in college football. Yeah, someone's going to have to pay the fiddler for this when you go out to Oregon. I know it's a regular season game, but Urban Meyer said it himself in the Triple Option podcast. There's 4 or 5 games a year where you look across the field and they got what you got, and you got to find a way to get those guys up for it. Whether it be with the offensive and defensive line, you got to get your dudes up for it. And you had your chances, and you fell down. The difference is that now you have another chance to get back to it. So go ahead and get back to it. It's terrible that they have a bye week this week. I would want to get back on the field as soon as I possibly
could.
They
got Nebraska, but you can't slip up now. Real quick, Mike Pavado on X says, can you please ask a rhetorical question you asked to Tirico last year to Ryan Day? How much NIL money do you need to beat Michigan? You got good memories, Kenny.
Mary Kay, 820, coming up right now. I want to hear from Amari Cooper. He had his press conference with the Bills, and the first question was his feelings of going from the Browns to the Bills.
The goal of playing in the NFL is to win. So to come in and be on a winning team – It's obviously a good feeling. It's not a bad feeling.
Amari, does the trade make you feel rejuvenated?
It does. It does 100% for several reasons, actually. That feeling of having a fresh beginning, a new start, blank canvas, that you get to control your destiny.
Mark this down. Do you think I'm going to be more frustrated than I am with the Browns right now at a future date?
Yes.
Okay. Can you or can you not see me screaming and yelling and then all of a sudden taking shots at Amari Cooper once he has 100 yards receiving in a game with Josh Allen and saying that he was sandbagging us?
In a playoff game.
You know me and I know me and all you folks listening, you know me and you know that's how it's going to be. I feel bad already about it. Can I do a preemptive apology to Amari Cooper? Because I said nice things about him out the door.
We both did.
And I feel those nice things about him out the door. I don't think it is not in his best interest to go out there and sandbag and suck up the room on purpose. It was not in his best interest. But I know me, and I know on a Monday morning when I'm stressed out and I'm getting cuss-out tweets over the Browns as if I had anything to do with any of this stuff, but people have to blow off steam, that I'm just going to lose my mind, and I'm going to direct anger and a crazed rant towards him. I can already feel myself ready to do it, Anthony.
Yeah, especially if he keeps talking like this, and especially if he starts referring to his time in Cleveland and the differences. Because if he all of a sudden turns into the dude that was looking like a number one wide receiver the last month of the season with mm-hmm. Joe Flacco, and mm-hmm. it just took that to get him revitalized. Yeah, you're not going to be happy with that experience. But I do wonder if, because people hate the quarterback so much in Cleveland, that they'll side with Amari Cooper, because he was a great Cleveland Brown for 2 years.
Oh my God.
How old is that kid?
He's maybe 3 or 4.
Poor little redhead kid. That was kind of sad. Did you film your boys in that state, Kenny? Post it on the internet?
I am a shameless self-promoter.
So today, Amari Cooper got traded.
Was traded.
It means that he's not on the Cleveland Browns anymore.
What?
I know, man. It's really sad.
Okay, great.
I don't know what to think of the dad.
I mean, posted it on the internet for his individual gain. Got a lot of retweets.
Oh my God. Man, even I won't do that.
Kid, come over here. Got more bad news to dish out. Camera rolling, honey? Those test results in?
I mean, that is the football equivalent of a Maury Povich episode, isn't it?
Right.
Like, that kid should be running behind stage right now with a camera chasing him. Mary Kay Cabot joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, are we playing functional football now?
We shall see. But wait a minute. We have to back up for a minute with the poor little redheaded kid. Okay.
I don't know what his hair color. I did not see the video. I have no idea.
Mitch, it was red, right?
Was it red?
It was.
So Mary Kay's seen the video. Okay, Mary Kay has seen the video. All right, go ahead.
Darling, darling little redheaded kid. Please, please, you guys, don't ever do that to your children. Do not put a video camera on them or a phone on them when you know they're going to ball their eyes out like that so you can put that out. Please just don't do that. And also, this dad better realize there's something called revenge. And this little boy is going to grow up, and he's going to have technology of his own. So
my God.
Dad better be watching around every corner over the next 10 years.
Oh my
dear. It's
going
to be the
God.
Paul brothers all over again with this guy.
A lot of talk about brothers anymore. Anyway, God. Yeah, I don't know what to do with that. I feel really bad for the little boy.
Oh, come on.
You should feel bad for the little boy.
You can't keep playing that. Come on.
Well, that is, man, I mean, I am down with mental warfare for my children, but boy, that's
just
I don't even know where
early.
To go now.
It's a little early to be doing that.
So Amari Cooper is gone. Is anybody else on the docket here, Mary Kay, before we get into the whole Deshaun Watson thing?
Well, they will get phone calls definitely for other guys, especially with teams seeing that they were willing to trade Amari. After that happens, then your phone is definitely going to ring to see if you're having a fire sale over there. I don't think that's going to be the case yet. I still think that they're going to go out this weekend. They're going to try to beat the Bengals, and they're going to keep trying to win football games. I don't think you're going to see a lot of quit-in guys. This is a high-character football team, and I think they're just going to keep going out there and fighting and doing the best they can. But as they get closer to the trade deadline, if it does make sense to move other players that maybe their contracts are up or maybe they weren't going to be here long-term anyways, it is going to be time to restock this roster in some instances, and I do think that other moves could be coming down the pike.
Since Amari is now out the door, and we played some audio earlier for him in Buffalo, he's excited about the new start, going to a winning football team, and obviously competing for a Super Bowl, something that probably wasn't happening here. How do you feel, as someone who covered Amari, and we loved Amari Cooper, but the end of the road here for Amari has not looked exactly Amari-esque, at least from what we had the 2 years prior?
Well, I wrote a column about this the other day, and I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it or read it, but it posted yesterday early morning, and the column basically was the fact that Amari Cooper played like he wanted out of here. I think it all began when he did not get the contract that he wanted. He held out of OTAs and minicamp at a time when they were installing a brand new offense. So that didn't help matters at all. I don't know if a holdout was necessary. I know the Browns were very surprised that he did not show up for those things because, as we all know, the Browns and Andrew Berry, they work very well with their veterans. And when it comes time to restructure a contract or give them their bonus money or their guarantees, they always go ahead and do that. They weren't planning on getting rid of Amari, so of course they were going to do right by him from a contract standpoint. But I don't think that he was happy from the jump. So I think that's where it all began, when he held out and really set the offense, or was part of setting the offense back when he wasn't around for any of that installation. And then I think things went from bad to worse when the reports surfaced that that they had offered him in a trade for Brandon.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nyuk. And at that point, I think Amari just made a business decision that perhaps he wasn't going to be long for this team, and maybe his head and his heart were not into it. Now, I cannot accuse a player of going out there and intentionally dogging it and tanking it. I cannot do that. But what I can do is suggest that perhaps his head and his heart were not into it this year, because everybody could see it. I'm not telling you anything that you didn't see with your own two eyes. But the route runner, let's just take the Vegas game, for instance. The route runner on 4th and 3 from the 9 messed up his route, and the game was on the line. And if he runs the right route there, then there's a darn good chance that Deshaun completes that pass the way he had in practice all week, and that's a victory for the Cleveland Browns. If they have one more victory right now, things could look a lot different. So there, that was that part of that game. There was also one that bounced off of his chest in that game. There were touchdown passes in each of the first two games that he dropped. And then after those first two games, he stood at that mic stand and told us that he wasn't practicing the way he should have in those first two games. Why are you not practicing the way you should have in those first two games, when the first game is against your former team, the Cowboys? Everybody's all fired up about this game. It's the home opener against the Cowboys in a season in which you guys are hoping to make the playoffs and maybe even challenge for a Super Bowl, and you just weren't practicing correctly or hard enough or at a game-like intensity for the first 2 weeks of the season. He had 16 yards and 11 yards in those games. In this past game, there was a miscue down the left sideline. He broke off his route and just did not keep running the way that he was supposed to. He's a route runner. Why are you doing that if you're the route runner? And then on the goal line, a face mask penalty. You always know that the retaliation is going to be the one that's flagged, or in many cases that it is. So it was one mistake after another. And I just don't think that he gave what he needed to this football team this year. And I think everyone suffered for it.
Mary Kay, these are all tremendous points. But if it's true, and I do believe it's true, in years past, they have certainly been good with their veterans. What if they were saying, hey, we're going to take care of you, and all of a sudden I'm seeing reports that you're going to trade me for Brandon Ayuk over here? Wouldn't you feel, if it were you, wouldn't you feel that you've been maybe had, maybe you've been hoodwinked, maybe you've been bamboozled, led astray? Wouldn't you feel that way if you were Amari Cooper?
Well, he had a right to feel that way. He definitely had a right to feel that way. But when that didn't happen, then you go back to playing good football and realize that – you can't screw a team over by not giving your best on the field. And again, I'm not saying he intentionally tanked games or he intentionally got a face mask or intentionally ran a wrong route. But something changed in him when he discovered that they were willing to trade him to the 49ers. And they probably should have recognized earlier that this thing had gone very south. I think you have to go all the way back to maybe LOL, I wouldn't have minded at all, to see that maybe this was not going to work out the way that anybody wanted it to. But by that point, they were into it for an $18.79 million restructure bonus. And that's a lot of money that you're going to have to eat if things don't work out. As it stands, they did have to eat most of that bonus. So I still think that Amari made his business decision to hold out, to not learn the new offense, to not rep things in throughout the whole entire spring. That was his business decision. And the Browns made a business decision to go younger at receiver if they could. Everyone knows this is a business and that's how things go. But you must remain professional and do your job to the best of your ability. I think right now the Browns would have at least one more victory if Amari's head and heart had been in it more.
Mary Kay Cabot, plaindealercleveland.com. We love always pontificating on the message these types of moves send to the locker room. Do you think the message to the locker room is that the season is over, or do you think the message to the locker room is if you are not committed and you are not all into the Cleveland Browns this year, we don't want you here?
I think the message in this case, I think it's pretty easy to see that they got something in return for a player that was going to be gone at the end of this season anyways. And I don't think the message is the season is over, because they are preaching to these guys, and I think they're buying in that they can hit the reset button. And yes, for all intents and purposes, this season is probably pretty much over. But they still have all of their division games ahead of them. They have all their conference games ahead of them, and they can still salvage something of this season. It's the clock is certainly ticking, but they've got Bubba Ventrone, who we will be talking to soon, telling them about what happened in Indy when they started 1-5 and made the playoffs. So it's not impossible. The season is still young, and because you have a team like the Bengals who only have two victories, you cannot count yourself out of this just yet. Now, the only way it would happen, of course, is if the Ravens somehow just went on some kind of a losing streak and they were not themselves. And those things can happen sometimes. You never know. But at this moment in time, they're not out of it, and that is the message.
All right, Mary Kay, so what is next for this locker room? Obviously, we are wondering if other veterans like Za'Darius Smith could be out the door. I know that other people, we played audio earlier about potential Myles Garrett or other veterans that could be involved in trades. Do you think now they'll stay the course for a little bit and just let normal football conduct itself as we see if they can start to dig themselves out of this hole? Or do you think they're just going to be listening to offers and there could be a fire sale?
Well, I think at a time like this, with the trade deadline coming on November 5th and you not being 100% certain where this is going for you, you have to listen to all of those offers. So you absolutely 100% pick up the phone and listen to every single offer. And if you can get something in return for a player who, again, isn't going to be here after this season, or if you have a surplus at a position, or if there's some other reason to move a player, then you will do that. And I don't know how deep it's going to go. What if they decide that they need a new quarterback next year and that they need to package some first-round picks in order to get that quarterback? Who knows how far they would go? I don't know if they have intentions of trading some more of their star players or not. But I would say that anything can happen. That they will be open for business between now and November 5th.
All right. So, boy, oh boy, this is... Is Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, are they still safe?
Yeah, I think they're safe. I definitely think they're safe. And I still want to address one thing real quick, and that is because I still keep getting emails and texts about it all the time. I do not believe that Jimmy Haslam is forcing Kevin Stefanski to play Deshaun Watson right now. And I also wrote a column earlier saying I still think it is the right decision for him to continue to play Deshaun right now because you have to know what you have in him. You have to get to the end of the season or maybe close to the end of the season and figure out if you need to go in another direction at quarterback. There might come a time where it makes sense to play DTR to see if he can be your next Brock Purdy or something like that. But for right now, it's not time to throw Deshaun Watson on the scrap heap just yet. How do you know if there still isn't something there when you fix some of the rest of the problems on the offense? Yes, some of it is his fault. Plenty of it is his fault. But a lot of it is a scheme that just did not work this season. A lot of it is your number one receiver not being completely all in and your tight end missing most of the season. There are a lot of extenuating circumstances that you have to eliminate those variables and see what you have left in Deshaun Watson for the future.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. It's been a wild, wild journey. Hopefully no children cry after our interview together. We thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I got a question when we come back.
Well, if Amari Cooper had any children, they might be crying after what Mary Kay just did.
Okay. 216-4. No, I'm not throwing out the number here. I got a question to ask you when we come back about what she just said. I want that clip back when we come back here. I know I'm asking Mitch to do a lot of stuff. Ken Carmen, Tone Master General, take us with you to work. There's nothing else to listen to. My God, you just heard that. 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app.
He definitely had a right to feel that way. But when that didn't happen, you go back to playing good football and realize you can't rue a team over by not giving your best on the field. I'm not saying he intentionally tanked games or he intentionally got a face mask or intentionally ran a wrong route. But something changed in him when he discovered that they were willing to trade him to the 49ers. They probably should have recognized earlier that this thing had gone very south. I think you have to go all the way back to maybe LOL, I wouldn't have minded at all, to see that maybe this was not going to work out the way that anybody wanted it to. I still think Amari made his business decision to hold out, to not learn the new offense, to not rep things throughout the whole entire spring. That was his business decision. And the Browns made it a business decision to go younger at receiver if they could. I think right now the Browns would have at least one more victory if Amari's head and heart had been in it more.
Whoa!
Like Mary Kay saying,
somebody call my friend Ray with the Cleveland Fire Department. Get the lieutenant over here. The studio is on fire.
That sounds like addition by subtraction.
Whoa. Coming in hot is tomorrow at 9:40. All right, 216-474-0092. Does she have a point?
Is there a counterpoint?
Do you take Amari's side or the Brown side? Here we are. Well, I'm very surprised.
Oh, it didn't make you think, at the very least. Because obviously...
Of course it did. Well, I respect Mary Kay. Oh, yeah, it made me think.
As a fan base, I think most people are putting almost all of this on Deshaun Watson. If you do the blame pie, he gets the most. Then it's Stefanski. Then it's Andrew Berry.
He said nice things about him yesterday, though. Deshaun said that they were brothers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Said they've been through a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
Their families are close. I'm not kidding you. He said all those things.
I heard it. And I go back to, you know, the thought of, I think, a lot of people in the fan base. It has been a pile on Deshaun Watson every day. I've been a part of it. Kenny, have you been a part of it? I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah, of course.
We've all been a part of it.
How could you not be a part of it? Look at the way they played.
Yeah.
Look at the way he's played.
Yes. Yes. It was weird to see this shift from Amari Cooper, the consummate professional, the the steadying, consistent force in the building. Somebody who, anytime you took the chance to talk to him, he was a very good interview. And then all of a sudden, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Zach Jackson's like, Amari Cooper did not speak after the game. He did not speak. And then, obviously, we know about OTAs. We didn't make a big deal about him skipping that stuff because he wanted a new contract. And I thought if anybody gets to ask for a new contract, it's Amari Cooper. And the Browns don't have to pay him. He's a guy who won the other side of 30. Analytically, I think we understand. Not even analytics. I think anybody who watches football knows receivers drop off a cliff after 30s. And then all of a sudden he starts dropping balls.
We got Mitch.
And now the route running. And Mary Kay starts to chronicle all that.
We got Mitch doing almost too much. I feel bad for the guy because I'm about to take the calls cold. I mean, this is strong stuff. This is crazy. 216-474-0092. Like Mary Kay, we're gonna get that part in. She said something at the end, but that was more on Watson that I want to get to coming up here in a second, because I just have a very simple question about that. But when it comes to Amari or the Browns, like, which side do you take? I didn't know that there was, well, there was a side to take, obviously. I just felt that everybody was taking Amari Cooper's side. There were some people who were saying he was sandbagging and good riddance, and I just felt that that was a little bit of a more vocal minority. Like, there are people, like, Lima, you got to understand this, and you do. Folks got to understand this. Over the last couple of months, the most ardent Watson supporters have jumped off the bandwagon. The ones that I've known where I'm like, hey, let me try to, because my whole goal in this entire thing is, let's be fair about all this. We tend to draw sides on these quarterbacks. Let's try to be fair, not get caught up in it. But the play has gotten either been okay to bad to the worst we've ever seen. One of those three. It's never been good. It's never been great. And even the most ardent supporters are going, guys, it's been 2 months. It hasn't done anything. It's been 6 weeks. They haven't done anything. And so when this move happens, we blame him. We blame the Browns when this move has to happen here. I mean, Mary Kay just said it totally different. Totally different. Now, I'll get to the quote, what we have to see in Watson thing coming up here in a second. I promise that. But I got to get to these thoughts on Amari Cooper. Robin Medina, go ahead.
All right, so before Amari got traded, you guys had Mary Kay on and asked her this exact question. You know, do you think he's laying down? Do you think this? And she point blank was like, no, oh, he would never do that. He would. And now he's gone, and she says this. So I think that's kind of some shady. I mean, why is she holding back? You know, why didn't she say that before?
Rob, I don't remember. Did she say that with us on our show?
You know, I think it was you guys, but I could be wrong. It could have been another,
Either way, do you disagree with what she just said? Did you have a problem with anything she just said?
No, I have a problem that she wasn't being honest when she was asked before he was traded. That's my problem. Well,
she's brought up the drops before, and she talked about him trying to get the contract, you know, situated and all of that stuff ironed out before the season started. I mean, I've heard Mary Kay talk about that.
Yeah, but no, they were like point blank. You know, do you think that he's laying down? Do you think he's sabotaging? She's like, oh, no. You know, he has, you know, this and that. He's the best. He would never do that. And then right after he's traded, it changes. I just think that she needs to be a little more honest, even though if you have to throw him under the bus.
Rob, thank you very much for the call. See, I heard her yesterday on Baskin and Phelps. It was because they were at the rally house. I didn't hear that yesterday. Now, maybe she's more comfortable saying it with us. I don't know. I mean,
Mary Kay Cabot, she stands by her work. She's never been one to be dishonest. We would not have dishonest people on our show. And Mary Kay, I think her work stands for itself over time.
We do have self-fulfilling prophecies here. We do have confirmation biases that play into this, myself included. I'll get to that when we come back. Well, 216-474-0092. Whose side do you take here? I mean, Mary Kay's comments on Amari are bombshell stuff. And the thing she said at the end about having to see this thing through with Deshaun Watson, I do have one big question about what she said with the change of scheme.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.